The issue is not so much taking the substance, the issue is to be able to process the result.
We had thousands of people coming around with this problem, and especially people that were using drugs. That is a dangerous area.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Welcome to our today's episode, Ayahuasca and Psychedelics, Pathway to Spiritual Awakening or Illusion, where we delve deep into the mystery of psychedelics, a controversial topic, the use of ayahuasca and other psychedelic drugs, in the quest for spiritual awakening. Throughout history, many cultures have used these substances in sacred rituals, claiming profound spiritual insights and transformation. In the modern context, where ayahuasca and psychedelics are mainstream, the question remains, do these substances truly awaken the spirit, or are they simple and escapism? To help us navigate this complex topic, we have invited experts Kezan Cornell to share with us the potential risks and deeper scientific insights. Kezan Cornell are project and business partners for over four decades, having established a very sophisticated laboratory in the Netherlands, working with frequency applications mainly on water, and teaching thousands of holistic practitioners. Welcome, Cornell and Kez, to another episode, The Voices of the One Mind. I'm very happy to have you again after the last episode that we were talking about frequency application. We were talking about hallucinogenic drugs, psychedelics, and and I thought it's a good idea to have a talk about it, because I have been living very many years and months amongst Native people, First Nation people. I have been living with tribes in North America where they don't apply psychedelic drugs. And there are many tribes and nations around the world that are do. It has always been in the Amazon area, for example, a very big thing. Also in parts of Europe, people were doing mushrooms and things like this. And since you are working with frequency, I'm really curious to have your assessment, your take on what is happening nowadays in Europe, because in my feeling, something really went quite sideways in a term of using psychedelic drugs in a very integrative, container of a tribe in the Amazon, to what's happening in Europe, in the Netherlands, everywhere in Europe, especially here in the Netherlands. It has gone mainstream. Ayahuasca has gone mainstream. I sometimes say, jokingly, they drink ayahuasca like Coca-Cola, because they have gatherings every weekend where hundreds of people do ayahuasca ceremonies. And from my perspective, from a spiritual perspective, I for myself have never taken any psychedelics or drugs. So people will shoot at me and say, so why do you talk about it? I talk about it from the perspective of someone who has not done it. I say also, this is quite a firm statement of mine for true spiritual seeking, there is no need to use these drugs. That's my take. And the conversation I want to go in with you is to see it also a little bit more from a metaphysical perspective, scientific perspective. What drugs can harm people, where they can lead them. I have Native American medicine men who tell me that they work a lot with people who come out of ayahuasca ceremonies and their head is completely turned 180 degrees. What they went in for, they came out completely the other way, meaning, you know, instead of finding some remedy or finding some help, they came out in being completely ever more confused than before. So just give us an overview. What would you think in this nowadays mainstream? Why actually this mainstream? Why is the Western world pouring down all these psychedelics that, and I would like to go into that a little bit later in the conversation, what was the original tribal approach and who in a tribe was taking these psychedelic drugs and for what reason? So what is your take on it? Why did this, like a wave, take over the Western world?
We use it in a recreational way. That's in Europe and America. But in essence, if you go back to the Egyptian time of the pharaohs and the big pyramids, there was a sarcophagus, there still is, in the pyramid of Cheops. There were people trained for 30 or 40 years to get a transformation. And they were dead, they drank some spiritual supporting stuff, like ayahuasca, whatever, it was a mix of that. And that brought them off their system to a near-death state. There they got enlightenment and they returned. And what they try to do today is having the enjoyment without the responsibility and the spiritual growth. So it's not doing anything for them, and they have a bad trip or they have some problems. So basically it was the final cap on the spiritual growth of a monk or priest. And now it's for everyone in the street who has $150.
So practically you are saying it was the final cap and now people are using it to some kind of an entry.
Yes.
And obviously that's a misleading road, and obviously it also became a big business, right?
Yes, but on the other hand, the priests that were using the stuff were near-death people. They were almost there on the other side. And we have almost been here because we shut off with taking the drugs like ayahuasca or like other every drug. It cuts you off from the inside. It's focusing on the outside.
Okay. Yeah, that is what I just said. As I understood, and from native people that I've been living with, whether it's the Mayans or even in like I've spent time with the Mamos of Colombia, the Kogi and Arawaka tribes, especially a very long time with the Blackfeet people. And other people around the world, Maori shamans, and in Siberia, I understood parts of them are not taking any of that substances. They have other ceremonies. For example, the Blackfeet or the ceremonies of the Great Plains in North America are using sweat lodges, are using sun dances, are using vision quests. And there's also a very powerful message in there. One tribal medicine man and elder told me, I can guarantee that if you go 4 days on a vision quest, that means 4 days not eating and 4 days not drinking. There is no plant on the world that will give you that insight that you get when you do not drink for 4 days. And everyone who has been on a vision quest really not drinking for 4 days, I mean, they have openings that, and I think what the difference is that these openings, they don't harm. If I don't drink for 4 days, I do not have...
You only get thirsty.
Yeah, exactly. You only get thirsty. That's the only side effect of it. So my understanding, and you confirmed that with the example of Egypt, was that exactly 100% the same from the Amazon people, that only what we call in the West shamans, meaning medicine people, at a certain stage would take medicinal drugs.
Yes, kind of exam.
Yes, yes. My understanding was always that the shamans and tribal leaders would look to children, and when they saw that children have psychic abilities, have, you know, channels, whatever, they would take them and would walk with them the road of becoming, would help them to open ever more their connection to the Great Spirit. And as you say, when they were at a certain stage, but that was beyond 50 years normally. It was not when you were 16 or 20 or 25. You were led really, and this gave you kind of the final boost, and you could also take that final boost because you had a you were prepared to that, right? Your lifetime practically. And now people come from the concrete jungle with all the chatter in the mind and immerse themselves on a weekend. So what could be the damage by doing so?
It can pick up traumas, deep traumas, and they get it above ground, but they don't have the time to fix it. So they fall back with the trauma where they had one, because it was buried deeper in the person itself. So you dig up shit, so to speak, and you don't know how to handle it. And that is what gives the main reason. Another reason is that the psychedelic drugs are mainly used in indigenous people groups as a antiparasitic. So the materials in ayahuasca is antiparasitic, and if you have parasites in your head, they will be killed instantly. So the decaying body is giving some real nasty stuff you have to handle. That's why they vomit a lot and defecate a lot. But it is a cleaning, but not only spiritual, but also physically. And the early priests that got the vocation, they were trained for it. And currently they're from the street the weekend and go back in the street again, so there's no contemplation, there's no work inside, there's no spiritual layer.
So you are saying practically the issue is not so much taking the substance, the issue is to be able to process the result.
Yes.
Or to what comes out.
To clean the inside, and cleaning the inside is bodily stuff, but it also is mental, psychological, and spiritual. But you need to have all layers to make the step to the other side. And the other side is the transformation we're living in today. And we try to reach it unharmed, but we have to leave a lot of stuff behind. And that's what they try to do by simply forgetting it using psychedelic drugs. So today doesn't exist in your mind. It's all hallelujah stuff from the inside because you're little bit high of it, and then you come back and you still have the same troubles you had before. So then you go to a psychiatrist and then you get some medication, or they take you in, or you cross a road, you don't see the cars running and they are flattened. That's why they were fighting in the Netherlands to get ayahuasca forbidden.
I have met few people, many people that take ayahuasca, and my question was always, why are you doing it? And and yeah, because I want to experience it. So that was not a real intention as an answer. The intention was I want to experience. So that means also that obviously the preparation for it, I mean the real preparation, I don't mean these 2 days or 1 day where when they meet in groups, they obviously prepare. But the preparation takes much, much longer. Years, exactly. And so this preparation is not there because from the context that we come as society, right? This society is not trained to have such. It's not integrated in such. So it's in a way it's an escapism, right?
Yeah, that's the name term.
Yeah,
they don't want to go all the way. They want to only want the result.
So it's practically bypassing, trying to bypass
trying
something.
Trying to bypass, yes.
Yeah, and which you cannot bypass if you are really a true seeker, right? Yeah. You need to go the way, you need to integrate it in life.
And if it doesn't work in 1 weekend, you try a second weekend and a third and a fourth, and so you're hooked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. There are also people that they quite credibly say ayahuasca has changed my life.
Yeah, that's possible.
And however, I have to say from the people that I met, if I felt their energy, if I felt their vibration, it's the smaller part of the people that I met, very smaller part. And I always kind of measure people how far the heart is opening, because that's for me. That is for me one fundamental part of enlightenment. You know, awakening is for me, awakening is something when I awaken to the true, let's say, fabric of reality. That was always for me awakening. However, that's not enlightenment yet. But once you deal and see the true fabric of the existence, enlightenment for me is when I can integrate and accept this existence without having that notion of needing to fight it, without having any notion of needing to comment it, and just being really able to love whatever there is and be with that. And I have to say, most of the people that I met that are, let's say, busy with the psychedelics in a quite constant way, most of them, I didn't see that they really have their heart open. So for that, for me, was always kind of a measurement. You know, what opens your heart is the way of the true seeker.
And the truth is inside, not on the outside. The truth is in the soul and not in the substance. But they try to find it in the substance because it has the same type of feeling. But then they use again and again and again, and then they switch to other substances and having the trouble over there.
And probably even stronger substances. You yes. Start with some mushrooms that are not as strong as ayahuasca, maybe, and you go.
But it's a step up system, because when you start looking at Mother Nature, what is the real cycle? Then there's a seed put in the ground. There's a plant growing from it. It bears fruit. You eat it. You return the stuff to the ground. There's molds coming. There's mushrooms coming. Mushrooms are the end of a process, clearing up the poisonous substance. And then when you eat a mushroom, you eat the toxic substances and you get a high. So that's just the other way around. That means that it's easy, you buy a pack of stuff and you eat it and you have the experience and you don't have to worry about 20, 30, 40 years of pre-work to get enlightened.
Yeah, it was very, very beautiful that you shared about the high, because I think it's about the high and the hype generally in our society that people are searching for. To be quiet, to be by yourself, to go deep, to look deep, inquire inside, is not so popular, right? Then to go on a weekend and instead of going to a club with loud music and lots of lights, in the way is the same thing. In the way is when I ask people, okay, you had an ayahuasca ceremony or a boga ceremony now, and what did you see? What was the opening? They would talk, oh wow, you see all kind of things. You see the universe. You see all kind of light spheres. You see demons. And I say, okay, yes. And now what do you do with that, what you have seen? How do you process that information? I mean, a very bold question would be, how do you process that information for becoming what we say about the human? And then you stare into faces that don't have an answer.
So empty. And that is the same. If you see nice colors and you see demons, just look at the television. It is much cheaper and no side effects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you could just look at Netflix.
Well, enough.
9 out of 10 films are about demonic beings. It's an interesting topic. Let us quickly go into that demonic beings, because what I learned from First Nation people, that there are certain situations in life that you are risking. I mean, many, many, many people who just walk their normal path of life are anyway all the time of risk, because they don't have any kind of protection shield around them. And the protection shield, again, is the thing that doesn't come from the outside.
It's from the inside.
It's from the inside by literally building up and building up and building up your vibration, in a higher frequency. And that ever makes you more radiating the a divine positive energy. And on the other hand, it also defends you. So going back with this idea into psychedelics, I hear from native people who don't apply these things that they say the risk that in these moments I am attacked by non-benevolent beings is very huge. What would you say about that?
That's the same idea we have, because when you're not home and the doors and the windows are open because you throw them all open, then they come in and you come in and you live together with 500 others.
That's so beautiful. When you are not home and the door is open, you come home and you live with 500 others. That's so beautiful, metaphorically put. Amazing. Yeah, but That's what it is, right?
That's the biggest risk you can have. And in the Bible, they warn already for it a few thousand years ago, that when there is somebody living in somebody else's body and they are thrown out by a process or whatever, they try to find another location to live. And if they can't find it, they gather 7 other souls, and they have demons, they call it souls. And then they come back, and then you are worse off. And that is what is happening very often with using marijuana, cocaine, you name it a lot.
Yeah, marijuana, cannabis.
Yeah.
You know where the word cannabis comes from? Canna is the canis, is the dog. And bis is 2. So it's the medicine of the 2 dogs. So it's serious. And they say, it was gifted, what the native people say, it was gifted from the gods, from another plant. So the medicine of the 2 dogs, yeah. This topic, with the demons, do you think that... because obviously the context where these ceremonies are made is also important. Do you think that a strong, powerful, spiritual leader, medicine man, is able to create a container that is closed as much as this cannot happen?
Yes. We have trained about 2,000, 3,000 therapists, and we also... use it. We don't call it demons, mm-hmm. but entities. Mm-hmm. That's different energies that can be an emotional load from someone else or a deceased person that didn't go cross over. And we try to teach them that's half an hour of work, but you have to be strong from the inside, not from the outside. That's Dutch courage, you know, that is drinking and be courageous all over the place as long as there's booze in. But the point is that be aware, be strong in yourself, and we have materials that can be used to remove entities or to avoid them coming in.
I cannot get over that thought that if you are aware and if you are strong within, you would not go and do that in the first place. Is that an assumption?
No, that's an assumption, because sometimes when you come into a group of people being sad because they are burying someone, and you come there, you feel the sadness, you feel also the sadness of the people that did not cross over. They feel your sadness, the frequency is the same, so they stay with you. That's what happens. We had a lady, I was treating her, and she said, I live near a cemetery that's on the other side of the road, and in the middle of the night, they always walk into my bedroom and they are talking to me, and they have those green fluorescent lights in the eyes, and they say, we'll warn you. So I get awfully frightened. And then I told her the next time this guy would come around with a hat and a long coat, I said, please ask the man to turn around, because it's in the mind to turn around and take out the batteries, and then the lights will go out. And she tried it, and she had really works, caught in the act. And then she could tell him where to go, because he didn't know where to go. His body was dead, and he didn't know what. So the first thing is you look for someone or something or an energy that feels good, that is part of you. But then you are part of someone else. That's also clairvoyance, is sometimes you switch from body to body to body, so you know things you can't normally know. We had thousands of people coming around with this problem, and especially people that were initiated in Reiki or that were using drugs. That is a dangerous area, so be careful.
So also Reiki, it's not typically our topic, but I'm very interesting.
No, let's say Reiki is you go to someone and they open you up, but you don't know what is opened and you don't know how to close it. So you go in the street and you say, oh, all people are nice. And then somebody robs your purse, and then you have another idea about it. And then you get angry, and then you have another energy, and you were in the street. And then you pick it up, and it is your problem. And let's say a simple example is, there is a guy driving a motor car. He's having an accident. He stops into a concrete wall. His car moves in a meter about. His aura is also moving on, and the body is left behind the concrete block. So it simply means then there is someone taking over the body and acting like someone else. That's the same what happens when they give you an anesthesia in hospital. You are out and they cut you up, and there's a lot of people that have been operated before in the operating theater, and they lost their life, but they don't know. They think, that's my body. It looks a little bit like, so they jump on it, and then you have a post operation idiocy. So it takes a few days. So when the person regains its own strength, they move out the entities and they are themselves again. And if they are not strong enough, because they're old people, or they're awfully sick and lack the energy, they can't remove the other one inside. So you have two people in one body, and that's called schizophrenia. That's not a disease, that's in many cases an entity. And you pick up entities using ayahuasca, using cocaine, all the drugs.
That's very interesting, because I have actually a lady friend that lives with two entities for, definitely over 10 years. She's a female, and she says there is. She even has given a name to the guy. There is this guy in me, and she has done all kind of things. I don't know at what stage it entered. I never asked her whether it was. What exactly was the timeline? Was it after a ceremony or whatever? But I kind of see and know from first hand how troublesome this is for a life. So, you know, like from a neurological perspective, what is happening when we infuse ourselves with these substances?
Your protection system is switched off because you're seeing colors, you are in the universe, you are not within your own confines of your own body. Mm-hmm. So you're out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you're out, things can happen. And if you return, it can happen as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, even the Catholic Church uses it. They have their water on the inside of the entrance. When you go into the church, you put some water mm-hmm. and you have mm-hmm. a cross. That is, I don't know the English name, Weihwasser.
Yeah, okay.
The holy
blessed water.
Blessed water.
Blessed water, yeah.
So it takes the blessing that is removing the negative entity so you can come into the church. Uh-huh. But on the other hand, if you have an educated entity, then you know things and they can pass you by. So it looks like it is solved, but mm-hmm. it isn't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when they ask me as case, mm-hmm. do you like pineapples? Mm-hmm. I say yes. But when I have another person in my system and that it can be stronger at certain moments when I'm weaker, then he says a no. Mm-hmm. So then they say, yesterday you said yes, and today you say no. How can you? I don't remember yesterday. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. someone else takes you over and mm-hmm. can have you do things you wouldn't do.
You wouldn't do, and when you are more clear, you don't remember because you didn't do it. You didn't do it.
But when you go to a courtroom and then somebody said yes, a voice in my head said you need to kill your neighbor, otherwise the world will be ending. So I saved the world by killing the guy. That's somebody making a joke from the other side. They're a little mm-hmm. bit bored mm-hmm. because when you're dead, you do not talk too much mm-hmm. and you don't meet any people. Mm-hmm. So you're taking stupid things. Mm-hmm. And if it's not stupid enough, you have some mm-hmm. other material that can bring you in that state. Mm-hmm. And you can be hooked or mm-hmm. addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a real problem for thousands of years. Mm-hmm.
My initial question was that I feel that something went sideways in the Western society. I would like to ponder a little bit into that deeper. Is it kind of a desperateness of seeking something that I feel that there is something higher, but my means to reach that is so cut off, and now I'm desperately running around to find means that could help me to access that?
It's the adventurous nature of people. They want to experience. That's the whole thing. But they are not aware. When you drive on a motorcycle 250 kilometers an hour without wearing a helmet in a slippery road, that's something like that. You want to experience it. But the consequences can be harsh. And nobody's talking about the consequences. Because when you had a bad trip, it's your problem. Just try it again, I did the same, blah, 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 blah. And then they're talking it over. While 30 to 40 years training beforehand gives you the possibility to handle that. That's what a medicine man knows, and the chiefs in these tribes. They know exactly how and what.
I don't know. Complete blackout for a second.
Take ayahuasca.
That's a good one. Well, so we see and we have learned now in this conversation that people really are taking these substances to have an experience. And that was always also my idea. And most of them are quite naively, I would say quite naively misled into, oh, come on, it's a ayahuasca. So that there is not even the urge of that. It's just, oh, there is an ayahuasca retreat next weekend. Why don't you come, you know, these kind of things. And then they get these experiences. What is the people who are going there with an intention, why can they not maintain that state that they experience there during the ceremony? Why do they always need to come back
That's like Achtbahn.
Yeah, roller coaster.
Roller coaster. It's like a roller coaster. If the cart is going up, you hear click, click, click. And every click is a fixation in a certain position, so you can't fall back. And that is what they need, but they want to brrr and then jump over the hill. It's also for the marathon people. They run 45 kilometers in one piece. That's quite an achievement. They train for it very long. They have hurtful feelings in their bones and joints because they overdo. Then the body produces dopamine and serotonin, the feel-good hormones. So a lot of people that are runners are a little bit addicted to their own drug. And there's no side effects, unless some broken bones, but that's all. But there's finding the high, and that can be in sugar, so eating pastries and pies as much as you like, that's in running, that is in using substances, that is in meditation, that is in energetic products or whatever. Or someone, well, we talked about earlier, that you live the life of someone else living inside of you. And the point is to be yourself, is go from the inside, build it up, lighten it up as well as you, and you are there, not the other one or not the substance, but it is you. That's all. Connecting to the universe because you are a universe of your own.
You are the universe, exactly. That's very beautiful stated. So what would you say? Would you say at all that there are people who can, may, could take substances like this? And if you would say that, which typology of people should definitely not take any of these substances? And which you would say it could be helpful or beneficial?
It's the people that don't know about spirituality, don't know about entities, don't know about side effects or whatever. That is quite a big group, the biggest group of people. I think about 1-2% of them could be able to use it in a perfect way without any negative consequences. But they simply do it, and when you did it once and it was relatively okay, then you continue. And that's the typical Western approach. Just give a few dollars and have a spirituality at your doorstep.
A spiritual injection. A little spiritual injection.
But it simply means that we are trying to skip. We are in a hurry. We want to do everything very fast. So if you have a headache, you know, take a pill that it took 15 minutes ago and it still doesn't work while you're drinking your 16th mug of coffee, not seeing the problem. Yeah. That's the point. They are ignorant in many cases.
It fits. I had a beautiful conversation with a Zen monk on the Voices of the One Mind, and he said, it's all about persistence. It's all about continuation. And that means integration. And when you cut that fundamental lines off, then the whole earth walk is for nothing. And probably that leads people in the yogic philosophy to say, well, okay, you didn't make it that time, come back again, you know.
We have all eternity.
We have all eternity, exactly. Yeah. Time is an illusion. And so overall, we could assess that it is definitely more harmful for normal people.
Yeah, it's like a chewing on a sharp knife. It has any effects, but you don't know what, and you don't know how to stop, and you continue chewing it. So that's the point. You don't know where to end and where to start. And then it overcomes you. It suddenly was there, and then blah, 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 some psychiatric talk, some medication, some whatever, and then a suicide. That's happening a lot, but we won't see it. Traumas kill, and that can be an substance-induced trauma. Or as well, if you meet the devil in one of your seances, then you also have another trauma. And it's trauma on trauma on trauma. And we're here to leave it behind, because the transformation we are in today is leaving it all behind. Let it go. Don't get it, but let it.
It's a hype.
It's a hype?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah.
A lot of people are trying this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just as a hype.
Yes, I think.
But the Indian tribes knew it was something more, and they dedicated their whole lives to it, while we only take a weekend to avoid all the hard labor.
So the Indian tribes that I lived with, the Blackfeet and the Mohawk and the Iroquois Nation, they have one thing that they say, which in the beginning I didn't quite understand, or actually I was not really aligning with that thought, is let's not share our medicine with the Western people. And later I got to understand really that is only a protection, but not a protection for their ego. Hey, we own it. But they knew and these people, they don't use psychedelics. They were talking about more oral wisdom. I cannot share oral wisdom that people are not ready to receive it, because they can make all kind of things out of it, all kind of let's put a nice word, all kind of misunderstandings. And the same should actually be the case with the psychedelic drugs, right? To keep it in the container of the people that grew up with it, to keep it in the container of the people that spend a lifetime on growing into it, and then, as you said in the very beginning, have this final spark through that psychedelic drug, rather than coming from a context where psychedelic drugs are not part of the society, where there is no medicine men or shamans that are there to guide you, but not just for a little moment, literally for decades through that things. Well, Kis, is there any message that you want to share on that topic to wrap up our conversation, or is there any suggestion that you want to give to people?
Let's look at the situation of the Indians and Indian tribes worldwide. They have been keepers of the secret for over 40,000 years, and we want it in an afternoon. So stop hurrying and start worrying and transform from the inside out.
Wow, thank you very much. So powerful words. I definitely don't have to, I mean, there is nothing for me to add on these powerful words. I want to thank you very much for coming again for this beautiful episode, for your insights, for your sharing. I hope all the listeners and our audience enjoyed the episode, can take something into their daily life, into their practice, and see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.